Okay, can you hear me better now? Okay, we played this fun little game where we each had to have our own animal noises. So thank you, Pastor Quack Quack. But thank you to Pastor John and Joy for making that space last night available for getting to know some of you. That was really wonderful. And for inviting me here to come to this church in Pennsylvania. I'm very excited and thankful to be with you here this morning. And thank you for welcoming me and for having the flags up and for us celebrating together what God is doing around the world. And this morning, we're specifically going to be looking at what God is doing in Indonesia. For those of you that are just getting to know us, my husband and Andy and I were involved in a church. He was a church pastor, a lead pastor in a small alliance church in Northwest Ohio for 16 years. And then in 2008, God called us to go overseas when we were a little older and our children were a little older. And God called us to go all the way to the other side of the world, to Indonesia. Indonesia is the fourth largest country in the world with over 17,000 islands. 6,000 of them are inhabited, 787 different people groups, over 500 different languages. And many of those languages have people in them that still have not heard about Jesus. So the job is not done in Indonesia. What Andy and I have primarily been doing since 2010 is partnering with the National Church by teaching at Jaffrey Theological School in the city of Makassar, where we have been, city of Makassar is there in the middle where the arrow is. It's a city of 2 million people. In 1932, Robert Jaffrey, a pioneer missionary in China, who then went to be a pioneer missionary in Indonesia, founded that school. And that's where we train the next generation of pastors and Christian educators for the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Indonesia. And we also do a lot of mentoring and discipling of students. And that's where we've been since 2010. That's what one of our classrooms looked like. Now we are actually going to be transitioning to a different ministry when we go back. We leave for Indonesia on May 31st, and we go back to Makassar for 3 weeks, where we'll be packing up our stuff to make a move to the capital city of Jakarta, where Andy will be serving as field director for the next 3 years. And so we'll be settling into the capital city of Jakarta, greater Jakarta area, around 20 million people. Has really horrible traffic, so we'll probably be walking lots of places while we're there. And we're thankful because we're not gonna have to totally let go of being able to have influence on the lives of young people. There's another theological school in Jakarta where we'll be able to teach on kind of a part-time basis there. Andy will be in charge of doing lots of administrative work for our field in Indonesia. Leadership development for our team leaders will be involved in member care. And we will also continue to partner with the National Church. One of my passions is Bible storying, how we can use Bible stories to evangelize and disciple people. And I've done trainings in that with the National Church, and I hope to continue to do that. I've also recently been asked to serve on the member care advisory team for the Christian and Missionary Alliance, so I'll be an advocate for member care for our international workers and getting further training in that. Some of you may be interested in our family. I'm interested in my family. And sometimes it's nice just to know a little bit about international workers' families. We have four children, two girls and two boys. Our three oldest children are married, and our youngest son, Josiah, is not yet married. And we have eight grandchildren and one on the way. And we've been living in the Dayton, Ohio area for this year of home assignment. And all of our children, grandchildren live in Ohio, some a couple hours away, some only 20 minutes away, and some only 45 minutes away. So we've been getting lots of good grandparent time in as we've been here in the United States. And those are our youngest grandchildren, twin boys, Gabriel and Gideon, that were born on January 29th. And we were so happy to welcome them into the world and to get to hold them. This morning, we're going to be looking at all of Jesus for all the world. That's the missions theme for the Christian and Missionary Alliance this year, and more specifically, the world at Jesus' feet. Think of a time when you felt alone. Think of a time when you felt desperate for something. Who did you turn to for help? Who helped you? One Friday morning, when I was on the campus of Jaffrey Theological School. I was done with my responsibilities for the week. I was just waiting around for Andy because he was going to be teaching a master's class. And so that meant it was going to be in the evening and we wouldn't go home till evening. So I was just going to hang around. But then all of a sudden, I started to have to go to the bathroom a lot, more than normal. And I said, ah, salamakan. That means I must have eaten something wrong. And then it started to get more serious, and I realized there was no way I was going to be able to hang around and wait for Andy. And so I decided I would just get in a taxi and go home. And I was praying all the way home that I would make it home. I was in a desperate situation. And then I ended up in the bathroom, and I couldn't go anywhere else. I'd never been that ill in my life. And I was getting scared because I was getting weak. And I thought, I need to go to the hospital. But the problem was, I was in the bathroom at the back of the house, and cell phone service didn't work really well in the back of the house. You usually had to go to the front of the house to make a call. I couldn't get to the front of the house. I was too weak. I couldn't even get to the front of the house to call a neighbor for help. And so I did what I should have done in the first place, which was call out to Jesus. Now, I knew that Jesus is my Savior, my Sanctifier, my Healer and Coming King. I believe that Jesus was my healer, but that day I experienced Jesus as my healer as I cried out to Jesus and said, help me. And little by little, I started to feel a little stronger. I was able to go and make a call to Andy and say, please bring me saltines and electrolyte water. I felt I no longer needed to go to the hospital, and by the next day, I was better. I was desperate, and I cried out to Jesus, and he healed me. Jesus wants all of the world to know all of Jesus. Jesus as Savior, as Sanctifier, as Healer, and Coming King. And as we look at our missions theme this year from Matthew 28, 16 through 20, I'm going to read a few of those verses again. We see that Jesus has all authority to be those things. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We see several alls in these verses. We see that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And we also see that he wants us to go to all nations. Listen to this story from God's word. Jesus left that area and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. There came out from that region a Canaanite woman crying, Son of David, have mercy on me, Lord, for my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But Jesus didn't say a word. The disciples came and begged him, send her away, for she cried out after us. Jesus answered, I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The woman said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus answered her, woman, your faith is great. May it be done to you as your heart desires. And at that moment, her daughter was healed. Jesus left that area and walked by the Sea of Galilee. He went up on a mountain and he sat down. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute. And they put them at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus healed them. And the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. This is our story from God's Word from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 31. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray in Indonesian. Bapak kami di sorga, terima kasih banyak atas kesempatan ini. Rahimah hambamu ini, supaya apa yang keluar dari mulutku boleh memberkati, menguatkan, menolong yang mendengar. Kami berdoa dalam nama Yesus Kristus. Amin. There's a lot of things that we could learn from this passage, but we're going to look at three things this morning. The first one is that Jesus shows mercy to others, to people who others consider outsiders, and he calls on his followers to do the same. The woman in this story who came to Jesus for help was a Canaanite. She was of the not people people. She was of the people of God that were not the people of God. They weren't considered the people of God. Jesus' disciples certainly wouldn't have wanted to give her the time of day. And they wanted Jesus to do something about it. And I was confused when I first read this story because it looked like Jesus wasn't being very kind to her, that he wasn't being very merciful. So I thought, why does he have this sort of response? What we see is, first, he doesn't even answer when she comes and begs him for help. And second, he says, I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then third, he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So I thought, what is going on here? And then I remembered who the audience was. And the audience was the disciples. And I thought, Jesus is using this partly as a teaching moment. Because the disciples and the other Jewish people had a very firm attitude or prejudice against people who were not the people of God, like this Canaanite woman. So Jesus is imitating the knee-jerk response that his disciples would have had towards this Canaanite woman. So we do see that he does care about her, and he does want to show mercy because he does heal her daughter. Jesus' disciples are begging Jesus to control the situation. Jesus wants to show mercy. And the disciples had long-held beliefs that kept them from seeing God's plan for the nations. But Jesus wanted to show mercy. He wants to rescue people. Now, the first disciples are not the only ones that have difficulty with showing love, compassion to outsiders. I hate them. I don't want to reach them. Those are the words that came out of the mouth of one of the Indonesian leaders at our theological school where we teach, when he was talking about reaching to the majority Muslim religious group in our country. Some Christians have been persecuted by Muslims, others haven't in our country. Sometimes that persecution does take on a physical form, other times it's just in terms of what you can and can't do, getting a church built, or maybe opportunities to serve in the country. But there are a lot of Christians that have those attitudes towards Muslims. They don't want to reach out to them. Then there's the other attitude, the other end of the spectrum, where Christians have this sense of tolerance. Well, you know, they're a good Muslim, and they follow Allah very well, so I'm sure it's all going to be okay in the end. Not recognizing or not truly believing or living that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So we have those two different attitudes that we are striving as we teach our students to combat, to help them to have that love and compassion that Jesus had for those that are on the outside, but also not to lean back into this kind of tolerance. Well, if they're, as long as they're a good person, that's okay. But not all Indonesians are like that. Paulus, who you see in this picture, is not like that. I had the opportunity to meet him when we were on a ministry trip to the island of Kalimantan, visiting some students there, former students. And I was telling him I was excited about this training that I'm hoping an organization can come and do in Indonesia about training leaders in the church, about how they can use Bible stories for discipleship and then evangelism. And he was very excited about the idea. He said, oh, we can do it with the Kabahan people group. Remember, I told you there are over 787 different people groups in Indonesia, and the Kabahan are just one of them. And his reasoning was, is because there are a lot of Muslims in that people group. So here was an Indonesian who wasn't going to allow the prejudices that he'd grown up with against Muslims to impact him, or the tolerance that he may have learned as well, but he had a desire to reach out. So whether it is the fear of the other or the tolerance of the other, Pope Paulus was not going to let that stop him in wanting to reach out to these people. Because when you reach out to a people group in their own language, what we sometimes call their heart language, it really impacts them. Pope Paulus was not begging Jesus to get rid of the problem, but he wanted to be part of the solution. So if we, like Pope Paulus, want to participate in taking all of Jesus to all the world and bringing people to the feet of Jesus, we need to shed those thought patterns that keep us from seeing God's plan for the people around us and for the people of the nations. Jesus wants us to point others to Jesus so that they too can be rescued by him. In healing the woman's daughter from demon possession, Jesus shows that he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that his mercy extends to those that are outside all the nations, not just the nation of Israel. And in this healing, and in this woman coming to Jesus for help, we see another point in this passage. And that is that people are desperate for the healing and the wholeness that all of Jesus can bring, and only Jesus can bring. This woman in this story, this Canaanite woman, this outsider, had heard about Jesus somehow, knew that somehow he could help her. And it's interesting, even though she wasn't a Jew, she used a very Jewish title for Jesus. She called him Son of David. And she was willing to brave the contempt of the disciples, the hostility of those around her, in order to come to Jesus and beg him for mercy. And Jesus validates this woman's request. And when he validates this woman's request, he's validating the woman, and that she is welcome to be a part of the kingdom of God. This demon possession, which her daughter was experiencing, could have manifested itself in mental or physical ways. It definitely was a suffering that was causing her mother to suffer as well. And suffering which touches our soul is something that only Jesus can heal. Near the beginning of one fall semester, a female student of mine, I will call her Tina, from the group that I am an academic advisor, the Christian Education Students, she came to my office and she asked to speak to me. And she told me a story that was all too familiar to me. Somebody had abused her when she was a child. And she was angry and she was hurt and she was bitter. And she knew that God wanted her to forgive that person. And she just didn't know how. And so we went through, we talked about that, and she'd actually taken the first step in the healing process was telling somebody else. I was the first person she had ever told about that. And just telling somebody else released her from that shame, some of that shame and that anger and that bitterness that she had felt. And then I thought, well, what we'll do is we'll go through a prayer exercise. So there's a prayer exercise that I sometimes use where I invite whoever I'm using it with to close their eyes and to think about a place where they feel safe and a place where they feel calm. And as soon as they feel that way, I say, just imagine that Jesus is coming to talk with you and sit with you. And just sit there for a few minutes and kind of listen to what Jesus might want to be saying to you. And so I let her sit in that quietness for a few minutes. And then I ended that time, and I said, so what did you hear? What did you feel? What did you see? And she said, I saw only darkness, and I didn't hear anything. And I was saddened, and I was shocked, and I was hurt. I went, Lord, why didn't you show up? So we closed in prayer, and she went back. And then a few days later, she came to me and she said, you know what? I tried that prayer exercise again in my room, and I heard Jesus. And the Lord started to work a healing work in her life. So those chains of shame and anger and bitterness that had held her started to be broken. But Tina is very fortunate because Tina is one in the minority of believers who have access to the gospel, who can hear about the love of Jesus and how Jesus can break those chains of shame and anger and bitterness. But most of the people in Indonesia don't have that access. And there's a lot of people in the world who don't have that access. And I'm really excited to be part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, where 80% of our workers work in those places that have the least access to the gospel. Those people who are desperate, who don't know that their chains can be broken. And in Indonesia, there are still people like that. And the capital of Indonesia is moving. Can you believe that? It's moving from Jakarta, and they're carving out a new capital in the middle of the jungle on the island of Kalimantan. I have an arrow on the screen there showing where the capital is going to be moving. Why is the capital moving? For one reason, traffic is so congested in Jakarta. Sometimes it's difficult for government officials to get to where they need to be when they need to get there. And also, Jakarta's sinking. It's on the coast. They built these huge buildings on land that shouldn't have buildings that heavy on it, and Jakarta is sinking little by little. So they're moving the capital. And why are we excited about that? Well, we are partnering with the National Church because there are two people groups there. I'll call them the K group and the B group, that are unreached and primarily Muslim people groups. But their Islam is mixed in with folk religion, which means they have a belief that in spirits and live in rocks and trees and things like that. So their religion is kind of all mixed up. And they are desperate and they need Jesus. So we're excited we're going to be partnering with the National Church. We're not exactly sure how that's going to look, but we would like to put a team in there, maybe with some international workers from the West, but also some national workers from the Indonesian church, and reaching out to that those people groups that have been resistant, especially the B group has been very resistant to the gospel and resistant to modernism. But the capital is moving, and it's going to be bringing some changes with it. And sometimes when we experience change in our life, that's an opportunity for God to come and to show up and for people to feel unsure about what they believe in. And so we're hoping and praying and asking you to pray with us that God would show up in those places with the K and the B group, as they probably aren't looking forward to the capital coming. So desperate like the woman in this story. And what joy that woman must have experienced when her daughter was healed. What excitement she must have felt. And as the story continues, we see that Jesus not only heals this daughter, but many people come to him and he heals them. That there are many other people that are desperate for only the healing that Jesus can bring. And they bring them to his feet. And here we see that Jesus' mercy, and this is the final point, is for all nations. So Jesus goes to this walk by the Sea of Galilee. He's probably in a Gentile region. So it could very well be that a lot of these people that are coming to him for healing are Gentiles, just like that Canaanite woman. And he shows mercy to them. And that must have been quite surprising to the disciples, who, first of all, didn't want him to bother with this one woman. We're not sure what their response to all these people were. So no matter what they thought, no matter what those disciples thought, Jesus was modeling, showing mercy to those that are outsiders, to the blind, to the mute, to the crippled, and many others, it says. And what was the response of these people? They didn't just say, oh, that's great that there's a higher power, but they glorified, it says in the text, they glorified the God of Israel. So very specifically, they were glorifying the God of Israel, whom before they were outsiders, but they were glorifying the God of Israel because Jesus made them insiders. And God is working in the hearts of Indonesians like Paulus, to reach out to those within Indonesia, but he's also working in the hearts of Indonesians to go beyond the borders of Indonesia and reach those unreached people groups who who need to hear about Jesus. And 2010, I started teaching at Jaffrey Theological School. And it was a hard year because I was new in the language, and I was sharing last night that I would translate my lectures as I taught my Christian ethics class, and I'd stand up in front of the classroom and I wouldn't always know what I was saying because I just translated the lectures and they were all new vocabulary and I couldn't remember all the vocabulary. And so I was nervous and it was hard. I was lonely. My kids were going to school in a different country. My oldest daughter, we had left behind in the United States to start college. And a lot of times I was lonely. And I remember one day, it was shortly before my birthday, and it was going to be my first birthday without any of my kids. And I was really sad. And I thought, what's this going to be like? And I was really craving companionship and to have a friend. And so one morning after chapel, I hadn't gone that morning because I was trying to prepare for my class. I was usually a really good chapel attender, but I didn't go that morning. After chapel let out, one of the female professors came into my office, and I was excited. I'm like, oh, she's coming to see me. Well, she had come to see me, but apparently she came in and she said, do you use colored markers when you teach? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, well, I think you're using permanent ones. And I got my colored whiteboard markers out and I showed her. She says, oh, well, it must be somebody else. And she left. And so that made me even more sad. But when I taught class the next day, I don't know how my students found out it was my birthday, but they had a cake for me. And later on, some other students who I'd been helping out with extra English practice had a cake for me too. And those were bright spots in my year. But one of the very brightest spots was a young woman named Mawar. She became a good friend of mine. She, after she was my student, she was bright and intelligent. She helped me grade papers. Then I had her help me teach. And she actually developed my module on human trafficking, and I had her teach that module about human trafficking. And here in this picture, we are doing a training together about Bible storing in the church plant that we have. And God has called her to do something special, but I'm going to let her tell her own story this morning.
Growing up, all I knew was that I was going to serve God. I decided to come to Jaffrey Theological School in Makassar. I was in chapel one day. I was sitting in the back, and it was our new president who was talking. He told us the story that when Jaffrey was in prison camp, he had this vision to go to this special country. But sadly, he passed away in July 1945. One of Jaffrey's fellow missionaries in prison camp shared this story, and it was heard by the president of our school 71 years later. A few months later, I talked with our president. He asked me to think about going and continue Jaffrey's unfinished mission. I remember I was struggling. Am I called God? Have I heard your voice? Why didn't you just choose somebody else? And suddenly I felt like I heard God speaking to me, saying, if I'm looking for someone in Jaffrey School now, will I find someone? Will you go? If God is looking for someone, and if God wants to move now, then I want to raise my hand. I am a fireman. The IWs here are very helpful. They show me what it's like to be an international worker. The school has been setting aside money every semester for funding. It is God's plan and God's heart that every people from every nation will come to know Him and to confess that He is Lord. I believe that we must go now.
So after the service, I can tell you what that, the name of that special country is that she would like to go to. She was supposed to go in August of 2020, but COVID hit and she was not able to go to that special country. And then there was some political instability in that country and she's still not able to go. And so we were very discouraged and she was discouraged, but God had a plan. And that plan is that she is going to be going to Thailand, where she is going to still learn the language of her target country, but she's going to be able to work with the 300,000 people from that country that live in Thailand. So God is still fulfilling that vision, just in a different way than we thought. So next Monday, on May 23rd, Mawar is going to be heading to Thailand. And she's doing now what I've done. She's saying goodbye to her family, and she's very nervous, and she's wondering how everything's going to happen. So pray for her. I know that God is going to go before her, but it's hard for her. She will be the first Indonesian from the National Church to go to a different country and learn a different language and minister to people cross-culturally. So this is historic. We have other workers, some in Hong Kong and some in Taiwan, that are Indonesians, but they minister to Indonesian workers in those countries. So she will be the first person that will truly be going cross-culturally. And it's very exciting. And we are praying that there'll be many other students from our school that would be the same way. So Mawar's desire, like she said, is to bring all of Jesus to all the world. And that should be our desire as well. Because someday, whether joyfully and expectantly, because we know Jesus, or whether in fear and trembling because they do not know Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as we think about this story from God's word, which one are we? Are we the Canaanite woman begging Jesus for help? Are we like the disciples asking Jesus to control the problem? What thought patterns are keeping us from engaging all the world? Our neighbors, our people at work, people that we sit with in class at school. Who's the Canaanite woman in your life? What's your attitude toward them? Are we at the feet of Jesus, like that woman begging him for help? Are we at the feet of Jesus, bringing people to the feet of Jesus, like those great crowds? How can you be involved with All of Jesus for All the World personally, and then partnering with the Christian and Missionary Alliance? Some of you, I may be new to the Alliance, so I'm going to do a bit of an explanation about how we do giving in the Alliance, because it has changed this year. We have what we call four structures in the Alliance. We have Access. That's what Andy and I are part of, Access. So that's church planting, evangelism, leadership development. And then we have Marketplace Ministries, and that's where somebody takes their profession or a skill that they have, and they go do that in another country, and then through the relationships, the networks that they form, they spread the gospel and they share about Jesus that way. We also have Envision. That's our the Envision sites around the world, and Envision helps train missional leaders, and you can go do short-term trips, or you can go for a year, you can go for 2 years. It's great for young people to see if that's what God has for them, to do an Envision residency or an internship. Our youngest son actually is doing his home service at the Envision site in New York City. So we have Envision sites both overseas and here in the United States, and they seek to have impact on the communities around them as well. And then we have CAMA, Compassion and Mercy Associates. So that's the structure in the Alliance that if there is a disaster, they're the ones that respond. And also on our field members, when they're on the field, CAMA is what helps with community development projects. So spreading the gospel through showing practical love and help to communities to help them grow. And so all of those structures, in the past, it used to be just the Access part that drew from what we call the Great Commission Fund, where people gave sacrificially, and that went to the national office and it got divided out. And Access drew 100% of their compensation from there. And now we're changing so that all four structures are able to draw their compensation from the great, part of their compensation from the Great Commission Fund, which means that this year, Andy and I have been seeking individuals and churches to help cover that portion of our compensation that is not going to come from that general fund. And while it's in the beginning, it seemed kind of scary, we're thankful how God has provided. And what I'm thankful for is that at the other structures, Marketplace Ministries, Envision, and CAMA, are going to be able to share in that Great Commission Fund. So there's two ways you can give. You can give to the general fund, which helps everybody in all four structures now. Or you can give to the ministry of Andy and Laura Brake. What I would ask for you at this point in time, God has been so gracious in providing partners for us that our compensation goals that we were asked to meet this year have been met wonderfully. So I would ask that you would give to the Great Commission Fund so that can go to all four, everybody in all four of those structures, because it helps us as well. So giving, that's one way that you can help reach all of the world with all of Jesus. But another way is by going. And for some of you, you may think, well, I'm off the hook for that. Well, maybe not. Because now the Alliance is seeing that there is some advantage in taking people that are older. Yeah, there's some hurdles as well, but people that are older have life experience, and they have a lot that they can give. And some people, there's a call to give back program now, where people who are older, maybe retired, are going overseas for a short period of time and using some skill that they have to help serve both the country and maybe the international workers that are in that country. Maybe you are a younger person and you're feeling that God is calling you to go overseas and serve cross-culturally. If so, I would love to talk to you after the service about next steps and how you can see how God may be calling you to serve overseas with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And another way that you can help bring all of Jesus to all the world is through prayer. And I don't want to diminish that. Prayer is very important. There's probably some days that because somebody's praying somewhere, I am still where God has called me to be after a very difficult day. And I don't know how many times probably God has intervened in situations I don't even know about because people have been praying. And when somebody sends me a quick email saying I'm praying, it is so encouraging. Don't think that you have to send a letter all the way overseas to encourage an international worker. A quick one-sentence email. And you can sign up for our emails. I have prayer cards out in the back. There is a sign-up sheet, but on the back of our prayer card, there is a QR code that if you scan that on your phone, it'll take you to a place where you can sign up to get our newsletters. My husband is a great communicator, and so he sends out prayer updates. They're just really short, so you don't have a really long thing to read through. Every few weeks that give you updates on prayer requests that are being answered and prayer requests that are still ongoing. And if you want to sometimes see cute pictures of my grandchildren, he puts those in there every once in a while as well. So prayer is very important. And these are just a few things that are on the back of the prayer card that we've asked people to pray for wisdom as we partner with the National Church, especially as Andy's going to be field director. We'll be doing more direct partnership with the National Church and their leaders there in Jakarta. And that Indonesian believers will catch the vision for taking all of Jesus to all the world, whether that means cross-culturally in their own country, cross-culturally to another country, or to their neighbors across the street. And then transformation. Andy and I don't want to sit back on all the theological knowledge we have and years of experience. We want Jesus to be transforming us every day to be more like him. And if you struggle with something, chances are Andy and I struggle with it too. So if you're having a problem with something, you can use that as a way to pray for us too. Pray for us here in the last couple weeks. We go back to Indonesia on May 31st. And so we have goodbyes to say, and that's always hard. This is always a very interesting month for me. I usually cry a little easier than normal. I am very excited to go back to Indonesia and see what God has there, but I am also sad to say goodbye to my four children and my eight grandchildren and my extended family. So please pray for us as we go back to Indonesia and transition well. As we say goodbye to my family in Makassar, I have to say goodbye to family twice. I have to say goodbye to family here, and then when we go to Makassar, I have what feels like family to me there. So let's think a minute about how the Lord is speaking to you about bringing all the world or yourself or problem to the feet of Jesus so that Jesus can show his mercy. I'll give you a few moments to reflect on that. And then I would ask you, if God's put something specific on your heart that he wants you to do, to share that with somebody else before you leave today and ask them to pray for you. So take a few moments and think about how God wants you to take all of Jesus to all the world. Father in heaven, you are so good. You have called us to be your children. And maybe sometimes, like children, we get selfish. And we keep things to ourselves and we don't share. Father, I pray that to us there would be no outsiders, only potential insiders, as we look at people who don't yet know you. We pray that you would forgive us for the ways that we think, patterns of behavior that push others away instead of invite them in. Please show us this week how we can show mercy to others, how you want to use us to show your mercy to others. Show us this week how we can content ourselves in you and look to you for the mercy that you want to give us in our own problems that we may be facing. And we ask that you would be with Mawar as she goes, as she says goodbyes this week. Give her courage, give her strength, give her peace, and give her joy. Go before her, prepare a place for her to live, people to mentor her, provide for her every need. And may the people of that country she wants to go to come to know you through her. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.